Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapters 18, 19, and 20. In these three chapters, we have David's victories over his enemies. Let's begin by reading chapter 18. After this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath and its towns from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. And David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, as he went to establish his power by the river Euphrates. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And Adoram brought with him all kinds of articles of gold, silver, and bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold that he had brought from all these nations, from Edom, from Moab, and from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, and from Amalek. He also put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and administered judgment and justice to all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief ministers at the king's side. Let's begin our study of these chapters, 1 Chronicles chapters 18, 19, and 20, with some background notes. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we have the account of the unconditional covenant that God made with David. This unconditional covenant stated that the dynasty and throne of David would be established and continue forever. The Davidic covenant is fulfilled in Christ, who is in the lineage of David. And the Davidic throne will be literally set up on this earth in Jerusalem when the Lord returns to this earth and sets up his glorious earthly kingdom. The record of the Davidic covenant here in Chronicles would have been very encouraging to the original audience. Remember, we said back in our talk on chapter 1 that 1 Chronicles was written relatively late in Old Testament history by Ezra. The original audience to whom this book of Scripture was given was the group of former captives in Babylon who had returned to Jerusalem. There would have been a lot of discouragement in those days. The glory days of Israel were long since past. The restored temple was so small and insignificant compared to the grandeur of Solomon's temple that had been destroyed. Life was hard, and the future did not look that encouraging. So to read about the enduring Davidic covenant would have been very encouraging to the faithful during Ezra's day. And that brings us now to our doctrinal points for these chapters, 1 Chronicles 18 through 20. Doctrinal point number one, David's victories proved God's promises. David's victories proved God's promises. When we compare some of the details of 1 Chronicles chapter 18 with the parallel account that we have in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there are a few differences in the exact numbers and details of the battles. But all of this can be harmonized when we realize that in the history of copying the text, some scribal copying mistakes did get into some copies. The fact that we do have ancient manuscripts of Samuel that support the readings in Chronicles supports the details as given in Chronicles where there are differences. In reference to verse 12, which gives Abishai credit for the victory, whereas 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 13 gives David the credit, there's no problem here, because Abishai, as well as his brother Joab, fought under David. Now, all of these victories of David over his enemies that we read about here prove God's promises. Listen to the promise that God made to David in the Davidic covenant in chapter 17, verse 10. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. We see that promise being fulfilled here in chapter 18. And look at verse 3 of chapter 18. And David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, as he went to establish his power by the river Euphrates. under the Abrahamic covenant, God had promised Abraham and his descendants all the land from the river of Egypt in the south to the Euphrates River in the north. Genesis 15, verse 18. So here in 1 Chronicles chapter 18, we see God fulfilling that promise. The promise of all this land to the Jewish people is still valid today. This does not justify the secular state of Israel using unbiblical means to take this land. But it does mean that Israel has a biblical right to the land as well as a prior claim to the land. And certainly the present state of Israel has a right to defend itself. All of God's promises to David prove true, and all of God's promises to us will prove true as well. David's victories prove God's promises. Doctrinal point number two, David's victories picture spiritual warfare. David's victories picture spiritual warfare. Let's read chapter 19. It happened after this that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Did his servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, and cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks and sent them away. Then some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syrian Maacah, and from Zobah. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother. And they set themselves in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Assyrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. And when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore. In these three chapters, 1 Chronicles chapters 18, 19, and 20, the Holy Spirit has chosen to include a lot of details about the battles David fought. Why? Well, not only do these details emphasize that these events really took place in history, but they illustrate spiritual warfare in some way. Ephesians chapter 6 leaves no doubt that believers are involved in spiritual warfare, and Satan has a lot of different tactics and schemes that he uses to try and trip us up. So all the enemy tactics and all the methods of victory that we see in the warfare of the Old Testament between God's people and Israel's many enemies picture in some way the strategy and tactics of Satan on the one hand, and the divine principles of victory on the other in spiritual warfare. All these enemies that David faced here in 1 Chronicles chapters 18 through 20 certainly picture all the principalities and powers of Satan and his demonic hosts. And there are many, as illustrated in the large numbers in these chapters. Now notice some of the principles of victory in spiritual warfare that are illustrated in these chapters. Chapter 18 and verse 6 says that the Lord preserved David or helped David or gave David victory wherever he went. And the Lord will help us in spiritual warfare. We don't fight in our own strength. 1 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 11 says that David dedicated the silver and the gold that he had taken from the enemy to the Lord. We too can take the money and material things of this world that we gain and give them to the Lord for his work. In chapter 19, we see that David's men use creative strategy to win certain battles. We too can be creative in the way we do spiritual battles. Illustration: I heard of a Christian teacher in a secular high school who had the students do a creation versus evolution debate, which resulted in non-Christian students doing research in good creationist material and literature. Creative strategy, right? Notice the victory principle of courage in chapter 19, verse 13. Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. David's victories picture spiritual warfare. And doctrinal point number 3. David's victories predict Christ's kingdom. David's victories predict Christ's kingdom. Let's read chapter 20. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it, and put them to work with saws, with iron picks, and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Again there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanah, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. The Bible teaches that when Christ returns to this earth, all enemies will be conquered and subdued, and every knee will bow and own that Christ alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All other kingdoms will be no more when Christ sets up his earthly kingdom. All this is certainly prophetically portrayed in David's victories. What a prediction we see portrayed in the glorious crown that is placed on David's head in verse 2. Maybe even Christ's victory over the 666 Roman beast of the end times is prophetically portrayed in the great giant with all the sixes, the number of man intensified. In any case, David's victories predict Christ's kingdom. Now, what about practical application? You can conquer all the giants. You can conquer all the giants. Notice that all the giants here are conquered by David and his men. Now let me ask you, are there any enemy giants in your life right now? Giant problems, giant losses, giant memories, giant defeats? Learn the practical application from this chapter. With God's help, David conquered and removed all the giants. And so can we. With God's help and by faith, you can conquer all the giants.